The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. This is Senior Chief Rob Burrows, retired United States Navy Seabees, two combat tours in Iraq, director for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and many of the other programs that we support here in our community, taking care of our young veterans that are serving right now, that are overseas with care packages and making sure they know that we support them. Also taking care of our post 9/11 veterans and the different programs, the different issues that they go through as they've come back from the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then our Silver Star Veterans and Widows program, taking care of our, I say elderly veterans, but, you know, our a lot of our Vietnam veterans are elderly now. I mean, they're getting up in the late 70s and the 80s, and those are the ones that we are taking care of right now, including our Korean War veterans that are still with us and their families and their widows. And so we are literally inundated every week with phone calls and information and requests and different things like that. One of the things that I'm very grateful for is that as our elderly veterans are passing away and the families are going through their personal items, they're taking care of their houses or their homes or reducing the items from their homes. They're going through and they're finding chests with uniforms and they're finding pictures and stories that they never knew about, that their mom or their dad never told them about their military duty and the different patches and things like that. And I had a gentleman come in this last week with the items from his father. His father was United States Air Force, was a colonel and pilot. And as he's going through and looking at all these different items that he's come upon from his father, some of those items his dad talked to him about, and another items he never did. And he was just enthralled at all of the different things that his father left, and the different books and his awards and certifications and things. But he didn't know all these things until he started going through all these papers and everything. He was an Air Force brat, and he was towed along with the family wherever they went. Obviously, as a pilot, they would transfer for every 2 years from one location to the next, all across Europe and in the Middle East, and then back to the United States. And things that he remembered as being a young boy, all of the different things that his father had included him in, and so many things that he never knew because obviously it was above his pay grade. And so he never understood those things until he started going through all the paperwork. And I can relate to some of that with my own father, his service, after going through some of the paperwork and things that he had set aside or never talked about, pictures and things that we could never get him to talk about. And so I'd like to invite you, the listening audience, is that you're going through different things in your life. If you come across the stories of your parents or family members or uncles or friends, and you come across these items and you don't know what to do with them, we would like to encourage you to donate those to the Northern California Veterans Museum so that we can go ahead and archive those items and have them in the system for the museum where they can be preserved, they can be taken care of. They can be, the uniforms are dry cleaned, they're cared for, and they're rotated through on display there at the museum in our offices there in Anderson, because obviously it's not big enough to hold all of the things that we have for the museum as we continue to grow and move forward. And so we are very thankful for you individuals who come to the museum and donate your family's items. The gentleman who donated these things, he goes, "I don't know if my kids are going to want this stuff." He goes, "I'm getting up in my years." He goes, I don't know what's going to happen to this, and why wait to the last minute or let somebody else make those really important decisions after I'm gone? And so we just like to get that information out there to you. Once again, if you're looking to donate items to the museum, if you're looking to preserve your family's items and make sure that they're safeguarded and not thrown in the trash by future generations, however that may be, the phone number for the museum office, once again, is 530-378-2280. That's 530-378-2280, located there in Anderson on North Street. It's 2110 North Street, right there at the four-way stop across from New Tech High School. And we would definitely encourage you to give us that opportunity to care for those items. We're literally the only place in Northern California that has the opportunity to do what we do. And if we weren't there, all of these items, they would not be safeguarded. They would be gone. A lot of the larger museums across the United States are so packed full that it goes in an archive, or they turn it away, or it sits on a shelf someplace and nobody ever sees it again. And we are a growing museum, and therefore we are looking forward to receiving these items and then being able to share them here in our Northern California area to make sure that we honor our veterans. You know, remember, we have the Veterans Cemetery out there at IGO, and it is a place of honor where our veterans are laid to rest. And we have the Veterans Home on Knighton Road, and that honors our veterans in the last chapter of their lives as they continue to live out their lives, and they're taken care of there at the home. But the Northern California Veterans Museum continues to tell those stories. It continues to honor them after they're gone. And what's so important is that if we don't remember them through this program, if we don't have the opportunity to say their name and showcase their uniform and talk about their service to our nation, then that history, that sacrifice that they made along with their buddies, wherever it might have been, whatever era it might have taken place, is gone. And it's so important for us to make sure that we continue to honor those veterans who have served, and to make sure that we continue to tell our national heritage. This isn't just about local veterans. Every veteran that serves this entire nation. And it is so important for us to be able to make sure that we remember, you know, every one of us who puts on a uniform is a part of a cog. We're a part of a tooth of a gear that turns, that is greater than us. And many times the machine doesn't work unless all the teeth are on the gears. It doesn't move forward unless every one of those is working in pattern, in tune. Whether the machine is working slowly, slow grind, or whether it's at fast pace and it's at high RPM and it's just spinning out of control, it still takes every one of us to fill those slots, those billets, to be able to move forward and make it happen. And sometimes those turn out to be good situations, and sometimes they turn out to be really bad situations. And good or bad, we need to be able to remember those things and to tell those stories and to make sure that they're honored and taken care of. We want to remind you that March 12th and 13th, coming up right around the corner, is the Home Spring Show at the Redding Convention Center. And the Northern California Veterans Museum is going to be there selling tickets for the barbecue contest. They have fantastic barbecue there Saturday and Sunday. We'll be selling those tickets, and that'll be a fundraiser for the museum. So we want to encourage you to go out to the home show. It's free. Go out there and look at all the different items and things that are available for your home and our community. Have a barbecue lunch. Help raise some money for the Veterans Museum as we try to get kicked back into the fundraising season here. After coming back from all the COVID and everything else, trying to get our staff together and get things moving forward in our community. And it's so important as we continue to move forward. We can't do what we do without your donations. And without those donations, we kind of come to a standstill. We are so blessed and fortunate that several of our facilities are owned outright. We paid for them outright, and or they were donated to us outright. And so we don't have to come up with the money to pay for those items. Those are things that we have as part of the blessing for the Northern California Veterans Museum. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock is the Fleet Reserve Association at the Veterans Museum. And then at 4 o'clock is the 40 and 8, our World War I veterans and their family members that are part of that program. So I'd like to encourage you, if you have the opportunity, to be able to come out and be a part of that. And then also don't forget the home show. As part of that is a fundraiser for the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
just keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only bout it, God can't bow to nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
KCA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you the Cigar of the Humidor, the Monte Cristo 1935 Anniversary Nicaraguan. From the fields of A.J. Fernandez, a bold and strong Maduro stick. Lots of spice with subtle earthy tones and a twinge of leather, coffee, and malted milk. The number two cigar of 2021. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home, too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Ah, this is so frustrating.
What's up?
Well, I'm trying to order my wedding invitations on Vista.
Don't say it. Don't do it.
Huh?
If you're thinking of buying wedding invitations online, don't do it. Call Minuteman Press of Reading and keep that business local. Planning a wedding is tough enough without hassling with details like invitations. Minuteman Press of Reading is a full-service printer that will handle your cards from design to printing to envelopes. And their staff is super friendly and knowledgeable and can help you get what you really want.
You got the number?
It's 221-0400. That's 221-0400. Call now.
When that plane finally landed, was kiss the ground. Next thing I did was to go find my friends down at the old hangout. We drank some beer and talked a lot about old times. But when the booze finally hit Billy Joe Grimes, he said, I don't know what it is, but you seem different to me. I said, I just came back from a place where they hated me and everything I stand for. I took a walk through the neighborhood. I thought it's been so long since I've been in a place where everything is good. People laughing and children were playing. And as I watched them, I found myself praying, Lord, keep them safe here at home in the land of the free. And I just came back from a place where they hated me and everything I stand for. A land where our brothers are dying for others who don't even care anymore. If I'm not the same little freckle-faced boy that grew up in that house next door.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Kevin Rafa, and he was a United States Air Force Staff Sergeant, and he's got a very interesting story. He is a post 9/11 veteran who served active duty from 2000 to 2007, during the exact same time that I served in Iraq in 2003, and then again in 2006 and 2007. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Rob.
Hey, you've got a very interesting story to talk about with your service in the Air Force. And as we move forward through the morning, you're, as it being a post 9/11 veteran, and you know, we're working with you just the very beginning with Homeward Bound, and it's a privilege for us to step up and to be a part of your life and to help you be part of the success of getting back in the saddle. And you know, 2007, it's been 13, 14 years already, but for me, some days, I wake up and it's like it was yesterday being back in Iraq and things that are taking place. Especially, I'll be honest with you, what's going on in Ukraine right now. I'm having some difficulty sleeping, and some of my dreams are me being on the streets of the Ukraine instead of the streets of Fallujah. And it's a swip swap from one to the next, but it's still, it's taking me back into that combat situation of flight or fight, or just, you know, do what you got to do to survive. And I'm trying not to watch all the news, but the news is still, you know, hear it on the radio and you're seeing what's going on there. We saw that when we were in country, especially when we crossed the border in 2003 going into Iraq from Kuwait. The refugees coming one direction, us going another direction, all of the fighting and the chaos and the turmoil that's going on in between, the fog of war, all of those different things that were taking place. And so, you know, I'm trying to wrap my head around that and trying to keep an even keel, as I move forward in my daily life to, you know, just continue to make sure that I can progress forward with myself, because, and that's how it is with other veterans. I mean, this stuff just brings back the refreshing, and when I say refreshment, I'm talking about the, kicking it alive again. Because, you know, everything settles and you're okay, and then all of a sudden something like this kicks the dust, and now all of a sudden that's in the air, and your psyche is all around that.
The smoke screen has cleared.
So this morning as we talk, I mean, you had a very interesting career before the military, and then also as you went into the Air Force. And so I just want to, as we move forward, just want to talk, have you to kind of share yourself, some of the things that took place before you went in the Air Force, and then why you went in the Air Force. And then we want to talk about some of the difficult situations you had while you were serving overseas.
10-4, copy that. Again, first, before we go forward, I want to say thank you for having me here this morning. It's an honor to be here, and I'm 100% with you on that, surfacing all those internal emotions and traumas from our time overseas through combat. We're not alone, and for everybody out there, you're not alone. A little bit about myself before United States military enlistment was Northern California boy. My parents moved us up here in the early 80s, and my father, Greg Rafa, enlisted us boys straight into the wrestling realm. We were athletes growing up, taking ownership of the mats, championships. I moved into musician. All of us were into music. We had music careers lined up in front of us as a percussionist. I traveled around from Dixieland jazz festivals. That led into working with Shasta County Community Band Festivals. I was then enticed and led into the Muay Thai fighting arena. As a 16-year-old, I ended up on Team USA, fighting in front of the King of Thailand, traveling around the world, was offered to fight in the Asian Games at 16, 17 years old, but had to decline due to my senior high school. I'd already missed too much school, had to come back. And just to catch you up on that, by that point in time, I had already signed up and enlisted in a delayed enlistment program for the United States Air Force Combat Control Pipeline Training Program. I had a 15-year-old expedition that led me into a little bit of trouble, which is partly what led me into the military, to be honest with everybody. Had some mistakes I made. My parents and some other folks, some professionals in the community, sat me down and agreed that to keep me focused, the best thing for me to do was get some training and some experience and get my feet back on the ground, and the United States Air Force was that for me. Once I went into the Air Force in January of 2000, boot camp led me to combat control pipeline training. In pipeline training, I sustained a very severe injury to my right quadrant of the upper torso, led to a cranial nerve 11 laceration, separation of the shoulder, bicep, pectoral, supracinatus, all the tendons and ligaments were torn. That led to, as an airman, being pipeline retrained, reclassified back into the standard Air Force as fuels technician. And from then on, I pretty much served my time as a fuels technician and had several deployments under that career field.
So that kind of took your major goal and dream that you had of going into the Air Force, kind of kicked it completely out to the curb as you had to move on into a different field of service.
Immediately, sir. I had spent about a year and a half training with prior military Vietnam special ops. A lot of the locals in the area, John Carl Rote, very well named. I was training with cardio coaches. All my athlete training from wrestling, Muay Thai, everything was transitioned and refocused into becoming a United States Air Force combat controller to serve the best way I thought I could.
But things kind of have a way of making things change, just like your injury.
Yes, sir. Like a pitcher throwing a curveball. Yes, sir.
So as you retrained for your new MOS, what road did that take you down that kind of led you into some other situation?
All right, well, so once I was assigned AFSC of 2 Fox, which is fuel specialist, that training took place at Shepherd Air Force Base, Texas. And I was immediately transferred first duty location to RAF Lakenheath in UK. There, shortly after, we had the great 9/11 incident. And
up till this point, this was pre-9/11?
Yes, sir. Now I'm in RAF Lakenheath, year of 2000.
Okay.
Actually, regarding 9/11, I was sent to the legal office, and while sitting in the legal office, AFN broadcast, we watched the planes strike the tower for the second time live as we were mobilized to obtain our wills to be sent for deployment.
That fast.
That
fast.
It
was instantaneous.
Instantaneously. We were removed from our duty, sent to the legal office, and while we were there awaiting our wills for deployment, we watched the second plane strike live TV.
So you went from DEFCON 1 to DEFCON 4 immediately.
Immediately. Snap of a finger.
So that experience by itself, I know that many of us that were in the military at that time, as soon as we saw what took place, the first and the second plane, the writing was on the wall. We already knew because we didn't know that that was going to take place, but we knew that that's what we were trained for.
Exactly.
We were trained explicitly for an emergency situation of a terrorist attack or something along those lines, whether it was here or on the other side of the world.
For immediate activation, mobilization for deployment. Yes, sir.
So I was in the process of making chief petty officer at that time, and as soon as I saw the plane hit the second, I was like, our lives are changed. I'm thinking this in myself because I'm at work watching this on the work TV, and it's like, my life has just changed. My life will never be the same again after what I just witnessed on TV.
19 years old, and like first
said,
class, same thing.
The phone started ringing.
Yes, sir.
And so it was a rapid wake-up for everybody that was in the military at that time because we all knew that this was on the horizon to begin with, and now it wasn't on the horizon. It was right here, right now in our backyard.
Yes, sir. And that did send me to Prince Sultan Air Base, Saudi Arabia.
We're going to pick that up on the other side. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Kevin Raffa, United States Air Force, and he is medically retired. So we're going to talk some more about that when we return.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Remember us, the Tula Kid? Well, we're back, and we would like to ask you a few questions.
Do you love TV? Do you like low prices? Call our daddy.
Hi, this is Doug Tooley with B&T Satellite. You know that by not calling the 800 number for your satellite needs, you get local service, faster installation, and most importantly, we speak your language. We ask the questions to ensure you get the right package for you and your family. We do big dishes, we do little dishes, we do internet dishes, we even do dish dishes.
Dad, I have never seen you do dishes.
That's because I do them most of the time.
So do I.
No, you don't.
Hey, kids, we're working here. Give us a call, and we'll help you figure out the best for your family. Whether it's dish services or local antenna help or streaming services, call me, Doug Tooley, 241-DISH. That's 241-3474. Or visit us on the internet at btsatellite.com.
B&T Satellite is a DISH authorized retailer. Restrictions apply. Ask for details.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Stripes, 100 stories. It's the Pledge of Allegiance on the 4th of July. It's them handwritten letters from home. It's them sleepless nights alone. It's his newborn baby he left with his wife. Mr. Red, White, and Blue, lay down his line. Mr. Red, to the swamps of Louisiana, to the golden coast of California, Uncle Sam's the only family he's got. His purple heartbeat won't stop, and his 18th birthday was the day he was born. Yeah.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest this morning is Kevin Rapa, United States Air Force Staff Sergeant. During we've been talking about you entering into the Air Force and you being a strong athlete as you came into the Air Force from your fighting career and from all of your dojo and your karate and all those, if I'm saying that correct, all those things that you're doing. And we're talking about the towers had just been hit at 9/11. Yes. And you, your Air Force unit has been called. You were in England, and now you're getting kicked into Saudi Arabia. Let's talk about that.
All right, so here I am, 19 years old, being mobilized, sent to a place in the world I have no idea about, no idea what's in store for us. And like many of us, thousands of us, we're in line at the airports on the East Coast waiting to be shipped out. Once we get into country, there is a true shock and awe, realizing, especially in the middle of summer, coming from Northern California heat, thinking where I know I thought what I knew what summer was, to where standing on the tarmac 10 minutes later, our boots have melted. Shock and awe, sir. Shock and awe.
Personal shock and awe.
Shock and awe. Jumping into it, that deployment, I was medevaced after 47 days, sir. While I was there performing typical aspects of our duties, like the rest of the fuels technicians, working at the FERF, delivering fuel to the aircraft itself, working at the hot pits for rapid refuel munitions reloadings to support the wartime operations going on. Some of the days I was also a part of a fuel response team that addressed the issues of the ruptured fuel bladders due to the heat index. Literally the glue on the bladders would let go, bladders would rupture, the dikes would contain the fuel, and there was an emergency response kit crew team set up with, you know, fifth wheel truck, tractor trailer, flatbed, all the equipment.
Was this MOGAS and JP-8? Just JP-8?
JP-8 on the flight line. This incident that we're about to speak about, sir, was JP-8 at the hot pits.
So if you don't know what JP-8, JP-8 is the aviation fuel that's used in all the jet helicopters, all the jet engines. It's used in the Humvees. It's used just military-wide. And it's if you've ever gotten diesel on your hands, it burns immediately. You have to get it off. Well, this is even stronger. JP-8 is even stronger than just normal diesel. And so this is a toxic chemical that's used for fuel in all military aircraft continually. And this was what you're dealing with at that time.
Yes, sir. And also to note on that, in our deployed locations, we also had to handle and add the corrosion inhibitors and the fuel system icing inhibitors directly from the barrel delivery. So, yes, we were handling not just the JPA, but we were handling the additives that went into the JPA.
So, like Prist.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so antifreeze, while it's at altitude, different things.
Correct.
And JPA, if you don't know it, it gets a type of microbiological, it's kind of like not a mold, but something like that, that actually eats the fuel if you don't keep those preservatives in it.
True.
Keeps it fresh.
The serviceability of it.
Yes.
So, on this incident this day, I was part of the four-man crew that responded to the ruptured fuel bladders. We had about 80,000 gallons of fuel that had been ruptured contained within the fuel berms. Upon opening the spill kit, we had realized that there was one set PPE short. I was the lowest man on the pole, being an A1C. There was a couple senior airmen, a staff sergeant, and a tech sergeant involved with this team at the time. Being I was low man on the pole, everybody, we all agreed that I'd stay berm side and I'd assist by feeding the equipment and appropriate devices into them to reclaim the fuel, cut it back out, suck it back out, pull the bags out. We all know in fuels, we all know in the Air Force at hot pits, this is a serious deal.
Anytime you're around a lake of flammable liquid.
Yes, sir. And the typical process was to literally enter the fuel with PPE, put in reclaim pumps, intrinsically safe devices, to reclaim the fuel, which is pumped back into the R-11 units on the flight line, transferred back in. We then have to remove and cut up the bladders, identify everything has to be claimed for, accounted for, sent back to depot. That day, I did not enter the fuel because there was waiters. There was no waiters for me. So I was assisting. Upon the arrival of the chief master sergeant, who was shop chief for all POL at that location during that time, I was questioned on why I was not in the fuel assisting my team. I informed him that we were PPE short. He stuck his foot in the fuel, told me it doesn't matter. He does this every day. He's been doing this his whole career. I honestly, sir, this was the first time in my life that I spoke back. My common sense kicked in, and I argued with Chief that day. And I told him, Chief,
yeah, you get to get back in that air-conditioned vehicle and drive back across camp, and you get to change your uniform. Well, I'm going to be stuck out here all day burning. I was threatened with an Article 15 for violating orders under wartime situation, and to either take myself to the command and wait for that Article 15 to be commenced or to enter the fuel. Looking back, I did the wrong thing by entering the fuel, but I did enter the fuel. I followed orders. That led to me waking up in an ambulance on the flight line, wrapped in a polar cold suit, because I had apparently asphyxiated, passed out, completely fallen into the fuel, and the last I had remembered fuel was about knee height, and I was in there for probably 40 some odd minutes, and I woke up to what they call intravenous resuscitation epinephrine. I was in country for a couple more weeks before medevaced at 47 days, returned back to RAF Lake and Heath. And during those 2 weeks, sir, I was hazed. I was punished.
So while when you went into the fuel, you were overcome by fuel fumes and passed out and submerged in the fuel, completely submerged.
Yes, sir.
And you had, basically you had died in the fuel by drowning. I mean, the fuel was in your lungs.
Yes, sir.
And they couldn't resuscitate you with paddles because your body would have exploded.
Correct.
And therefore they had to chemically revive you and then try to get all of that fuel out of your mouth and your nose and your lungs.
Yes, sir. Since then I have had, major rib and sternal displacement, which was probably due to the chest compressions that took place before the revival. The medical report actually says heat stroke, asphyxiation, resuscitation. So about 47 days I was, and they kept me in country for 47 days because the medical commander wanted me to be able to receive full accommodations. If you did not serve 45 days in country, you were returned home with no awards, no decorations. So he held
and
me
no benefits.
No benefits as a result, yeah. during those couple weeks post this incident, I was hazed to no end. It was an unfathomable, unconscious thing that I went through. I don't understand it. I don't understand anybody could have went through what I went through, to be honest with you, sir. For several weeks, I was assigned one of the hardest fuel transfer trucking positions on that base, and I was known quickly by security forces not even needing to stop at checkpoint to talk because I have what we call the blood stripe, cowboy stripe down the side of my truck. I had ruptured sinuses. I had over 47 blood cauterizations performed to my nasal cavity before they even took me medically, escorted me armored vehicle to Riyadh Hospital, Saudi Arabia, where their specialist told me I needed to be removed from country and sent home for immediate care. So there was a lot that happened in Saudi Arabia, and do I feel sorry for not being there with the rest of my comrades for the rest of that deployment? Yes, I do, because I understand that was life-changing for all of us. I wasn't the only 18, 19-year-old that went to a foreign place to support a foreign war, which was scary for all of us. And unfortunately for me, that situation got the best of me, sir.
So when they medically evacuated you away from the situation where the fuel was, were you sent to a cache at that point, a combat casualty hospital there in Saudi Arabia? Or, I mean, how did they try to get you cleaned up to the point where you were still alive? I mean, in all actuality, I mean, literally having that diesel fuel or JP-8 in your lungs and your stomach and your nostrils and everything mm-hmm. else, it's just amazing to me that you lived to begin with.
Well, if we technically look at it, yeah, I'm alive, but there was a resuscitation. I've been living and dealing with chemical pneumonitis of the entire body, which is burns from nasal to...
Right, chemical burns.
Chemical burns. The medevac was a medevac out of Saudi Arabia back to RAF Lake and Heath, but again, in those 2 weeks, they actually medically escorted me in armored vehicles to Riyadh Hospital, which is one of the world's major leading teaching hospitals for specialty care, which I was advised, and they advised the Air Force to remove me from country and send me home.
And how long did it take the Air Force to do that?
About 2 more weeks because they wanted to hold me in country for 47 days so I could receive honors.
So that's the reason that you were held still back there.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Kevin Rafa, United States Air Force. We're talking about severe injury that he acquired while he was there in country with JP8 Fuel. We'll be right back.
The 36th annual Crown Motors Boat Sport and RV Show is back live at the Shasta District Fairgrounds March 4th through the 6th. Meet world-famous Tag, the 10-foot-tall half-ton Kodiak Bear, sponsored by KRCR News Channel 7. See Squatch, America's 10-foot-tall, 800-pound Sasquatch. See and shop for your outdoor recreation needs from a host of new exhibitors. You'll see guides and lodges. Sign up to win a guided Kenai fishing experience. Don't miss the Legends of the Northwest Big Game Display, sponsored by Action News Now. For the kids, there's the Pepsi Live Trout Pond, Archery Range, and BB Gun Range. Catch the fishing demonstrations on Phil's Bass Bin. See ATVs, RVs, boats, wall tents, and more at low show prices. All this and more at the Crown Motors Boat Sport and RV Show, presented by Interstate Batteries, March 4th through the 6th. See you there. For more info, visit ExposureShows.com.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's keep it 100. Them traitors think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing, yeah. And I only about it, God came about it, nothing else. Yeah, it's time to fight. And it don't matter if you're black or white. And I know it's gonna take some sacrifice.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW Renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM. Listening to Battlefield Expressions, and we're right in the middle of the story with Kevin Rafa, and he has just had the injury of falling into this JP8 where he was completely submerged and then revitalized with epinephrine as a shot to be able to bring him back to life. And he's dealing with these immediate injuries. If you've ever had diesel spilled on you, it burns like crazy. You have to change your clothing, wash it off with soap. His whole body was completely submerged. He had it in his ears and his eyes and his mouth and in his nose and his stomach. And as we move forward with this, and he's dealing with these repercussions of this submersion in this JP-8, he's going to talk to us about the trauma that his body went through. He's still dealing with that trauma. He's never completely healed from that. And so as we move forward, Kevin, share with us exactly as you move forward the struggle that it's been for you. Obviously, it wasn't your day to die that day. Most people probably would have succumbed to their injuries, and that would have been it. But you are a survivor. You are a hard charger. You're a fighter from the very beginning. And if it wasn't for the fact that you already had very, very good health to begin with, you probably would not have made it through this.
I would like to comment on that exactly. That is almost to the T, literally, what was said to me by the medical professionals.
Why it's so important to keep your health up.
It is, everyone. The medical professionals who have been treating me all this time have told me that it hadn't it been for the extreme level of health I had when I went into the military, that I probably would have most likely succumbed to that incident. So moving forward, what I've been dealing with since that day and still is chemical pneumonitis of the lungs. I have chronic deteriorating tissue, degenerating tissue in my lungs as a result. The cryptology, cytology reports would tell you and lead you to believe that I was once a coal miner.
That bad?
That bad, sir. That's just one thing. I'd like to really just step back and to help everybody understand and also remind everybody that we're not alone in the world of military hazing. And this incident led me into that exactly. Upon my return through that medevac to RAF Lakenheath, where I was actually assigned my duty station, my command began to haze me. It actually led to me being gang jumped by in excess of 10 men, where I was clubbed to the back of the head, sustained another traumatic brain injury. I had been duct taped, sexually molested by a group of men. And the whole time I was told that I was a malingerer by everybody from the NCOs to the officers of my command. That actually did lead to a congressional and an IG complaint, sir. So as you can imagine, once you step forward into that, your military career has kind of hit a halt. RAF Lakenheath, I was treated for reconstructive surgeries through the sinus canal. For the injuries I sustained, I was hospitalized for several days for that. That led to a sinus rupture, actually, during the medical procedure, where I had experienced some pharmaceutical applications that I didn't even know really existed. And I was basically dumped off into my dorm room, literally dumped off into my dorm room with medications, and nobody was notified. Not my mother, not my father, not my brothers, not my sister. Not even the command back home was properly notified of what it was I had actually went through, even though the medevac form said public health consult, which should have led to me being referred to OSHA, never happened. I was swept under the rug.
So what command was it that was supposedly supposed to be taking care of you at the time you were going through all these issues? I mean, I know that our listeners are probably struggling to understand how individuals can go through this, and I know that these things happen. I've talked to other veterans, and I've heard different things that have happened, and I don't completely understand the command attitude or those situations myself. Do you have an idea of why that they were taking that hazing and everything out on you because of what took place? Is this coming back from the master sergeant because he forced you into a situation where he knew he was wrong?
From my experience and what I did come to understand about the hazing process in the military, yes, it's a word of mouth chain of command type thing that happens. The command at the deployed location, the chief most likely had communication with my actual base station command. And when that malingerer word comes out, we all know that there was a discussion that took as a very direct accusation. And in fact, to use the word malingerer when there was a crime committed against me was the problem that I've been dealing with interpersonally ever since. But again, because that malingerer title that I took due to a crime, a medical crime, a war crime committed against me that should have taken my life led to me being harassed and hazed to no end. And that is something that we will talk about, I'm pretty sure, in the show, but I almost took my life as a result.
I was going to say, this taking place in the middle of all the pain and the suffering that you're physically going through, internally, all the internal injuries that you received from this JP-8 injection, literally injected into your body.
Yes, sir.
And carrying on. And you're right. This is where many people would have just given up. They would have just taken their own life and been done. And they, maybe that's what those individuals wanted. When I hear of individuals in the military that act this way, it's almost like a gang mob. It's almost like a mob mentality where, yes, look, we're just going to alleviate. Nobody wants to deal with this, so let's just alleviate by completely getting rid of it.
Remove it.
And you never gave in.
No, sir. Through that time at RAF Lake and Heath, once I went to the IG about all this that was going on, my time there was really rough, really tough. I was happy as all could be to get orders out of there.
I'll bet.
I was sent to Shaw Air Force Base, South Carolina, which is where I got my feet back on the ground, as they say in the military world. I came into contact with some amazing people there, some amazing airmen. One of them today is my best friend, lifesaver. And, yeah, you know, we have our tour, we have our time. And ironically, Shaw Air Force Base, I was redeployed again to Saudi Arabia.
That's the part I don't understand. You've gone through all this. You should have been medically discharged, and yet you got to a point where they felt that they could turn around and send you back in country again under another deployment.
Yeah, in 2003, I was redeployed for the teardown of Prince Sultan Air Base, Saudi Arabia, because we were asked to leave country. So during that mobilization and deployment, I was part of the fuels technician teams that were dismantling and tearing down our base. Sent home out. I did fulfill in full duty of that deployment, but I would like to also mention I sustained another heat stroke incident while there. And future, later on down the history, I learned from my medical team that there's no reason why, and even still today, I sustained another heat stroke last year. Once you have these types of brain injuries, traumatic heat stroke injuries, you are very susceptible and easily struck by another.
Correct. It's like your thermostat is broken in your body and it never completely heals.
Yes, sir. And I was found passed out in the middle of the desert in 2003 and was written an LOR instead, a letter of reprimand instead of given care. It's just another, yeah, it's just, you know, wild stories of the deployment world and wild stories of the military, you know. I'm not sure, and I don't firmly believe that everybody has these true extremes or detrimental situations to them while they're in the military. I have a ton of glorious situations, righteous situations that have helped build me into this character, probably of who I am. I've seen a lot of amazing people travel through and go through that militarized process and come out the other side on top of the world. It just honestly hasn't worked that way for me and some of those others that I know.
Well, I know that in my 23 years of experience that there's many things that I didn't like, many things that took place and things like that, but it was never to an extreme what you're going through yourself.
No, and the thing you mentioned about when we first went on the air about the camaraderie, the collectiveness of this unit, I'd like to say to all of you who have been out there for me and for each other through this, up until these processes, thank you. Thank you for that camaraderie. Don't give up on each other and don't give up on yourselves.
Well, I think that's one of the reasons that we're having you here this morning is because you need to tell your story. You need to know that we support you through our programs. We need to support you from veteran to veteran, combat veteran to combat veteran. Mm-hmm. And it's important for people to understand, you know, we have some veterans that come through here and their stories are hunky-dory, no issues whatsoever. And then you have other veterans come through and every day was a stumbling block. Every deployment was a stumbling block. And the situations are forced upon you. You become part of a moving machine.
A cog.
That's right. A cog in that moving machine. And it may not be anywhere near where you hoped it was going to be. And so, and that's where it gets flipped upside down and backwards. And if you're not careful, you don't have the right support team. You just get trampled on through the entire process. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
What's on your mind? It just takes a moment if you take the time. Hope is in heaven, not far.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Breaking news this hour at townhall.com. I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Some threatening rhetoric today from Russian President Vladimir Putin, who's warning that third parties should not try to establish a no-fly zone over Ukraine. Meanwhile, the Ukrainian President Zelensky today responding and saying that Russia is wrong in its invasion.
Ми робимо все з нашого боку, щоб домовленість запрацювала.
Earlier, they tried to institute a ceasefire,
but
unfortunately, it broke down because of ongoing Russian shelling. The European Union foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, says with more than a million Ukrainians already made refugees, the EU is asking for safe passage.
We strongly call for a humanitarian corridor. The International Red Cross is not able to enter the country, and we need green corridors for the Red Cross to be able to help the Ukrainian people.
Meanwhile, the Biden administration is seeking more money now to help protect Ukraine against the Russians.
We're requesting $10 billion to deliver additional security assistance for Ukraine, to provide life-saving humanitarian assistance for the Ukrainian people, and more support for stronger sanctions enforcement and for U.S. troop deployments to reinforce NATO's eastern flank and deter Russian aggression.
That is White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki. Former National Security Council Chief of Staff Alex Gray says former President Trump set the stage for peace when he withdrew from the Iran nuclear deal.
He created a situation by doing that that I think directly led to the Abraham Accords, the most significant peace opportunity in the last 70 years in the Middle East.
And Gray says that President Biden would imperil those gains if he follows through on his plans to rejoin the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Gray was interviewed by the Salem Radio Network. More from townhall.com.
Hi, I'm cute kid number one.
And I'm cute kid number two.
And we have been forced.
You mean hired?
We have been hired.
To tell you what direct lender FOMO is. So let's say you buy a new home, and maybe you use one of those big mortgage monsters.
Or someone your realtor or friend recommends.
And then a few months later, you hear us being forced.
Hired.
Hired.
To tell you about our mortgage team's direct lender advantage.
And then you feel like you missed out.
Because you probably did miss out.
And that is direct lender FOMO.
It's Ryan, and our mortgage team is an arm of a bigger company who is a direct lender, which means our company gets to use its own money and make its own decisions within its own walls. There's no middleman. This often allows us to get you a better rate on that new home mortgage, saving you monthly and lifelong money. We are United Faith Mortgage.
United Faith Mortgage is a DBA of United Mortgage Corp, 25 Melville Park Road, Melville, New York. Licensed mortgage banker. For all licensing information, go to animalistconsumeraccess.org. Corporate animalist number 1335. Rec animalist number 65233. Equal housing lender. I license in Alaska, Hawaii, Georgia, Massachusetts, North Dakota, South Dakota, or Utah.
U.S. employers added a robust 678,000 jobs in February, underscoring the economy's solid health as the Omicron variant seems to be fading away.
These are stunning job gains.
Grant Thornton chief economist Diane Swonk also notes unemployment dropped to 3.8%, while the Labor Department report showed the work week rebounded in February after the Omicron wave of COVID-19 forced many to miss time in January.
Average hourly earnings are up quite substantially during the month when you include the hours worked along with average wages.
But Swonk notes the strong data is giving the Federal Reserve some concern.
It's a little too hot to the touch. We'd like to see more moderate employment gains and wage gains that allow the economy to continue to expand.
Ben Thomas, Washington.
A struggle on Wall Street to end the week Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average gave up about 180 points. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. Correspondent Rita Foley reports it's a case of a terrifying story with a nice ending.
Two Marines were on a routine flight over South Carolina when an engine caught fire. The jet turned nose down toward the ground and crashed, says a witness. She went searching for the plane and found the two Marines who had ejected. Both were alive and able to walk away from the crash site on their own. But that's not the end of this unusual story. The woman who saw all of this, Sarah Sanford Rausch, is the sister of former South Carolina Governor Mark Sanford. It turns out the fighter jet crashed on the grounds of the Sanford family plantation, near where the governor's father is buried. I'm Rita Foley.
Today is Saturday, March 5th. And in highlights in history, it was March 5th of 1770, the Boston Massacre took place as British soldiers who'd been taunted by a crowd of colonists opened fire, killing five people. More of these stories at townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
To the mailbox on that bright summer's day, found a letter from her son in a war far away. He spoke of the weather and good friends that he'd made. Said, I've been thinking about dad and the life that he had. That's why I'm then in the end, he said, you are what I'm fighting for. It was the first of his letters from war. She started writing, you're good and you're brave. What a father that you'll be someday. Make it home, make it pay. Honey, she'll not forget. Oh, her tears stained the paper with every word that she read.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and our guest this morning is Kevin Rappa. Kevin, we've been talking about your injury that you took place where you fell into that JP-8 and coming back to the United States after dealing with your medical situations and everything, and then getting redeployed again back to Saudi Arabia, and then a third tour. And so we're talking about that. In the meantime, you're still going through all of these medical issues. The medical issues have never stopped.
No, sir.
During this entire time.
No, sir. By the time I come out of the military, I was on 14 pharmaceuticals that they were treating me with for all of these injuries or ailments that I had sustained the fallout from these incidents. Jump into that third deployment, if that's all right, yeah?
Yes, right ahead.
Cool. So in 2004, I was reactivated and mobilized again and sent to BIOP, Baghdad International Airport, Camp Sather, Iraq. So
I've been there. Yes, you have.
A lot of us have. That was an interesting deployment all in itself and quite different than the other ones to Saudi Arabia. As you know, we were more now directly. We really are now in the combat realm.
That's right. If you were at BIOP, which is Baghdad International Airport, that they were mortared every single day and night. And going in and out of there, we ran our convoys in and out of Baghdad, ECP-4, Entry Control Point 4, which was off of Tampa, and which is between Tampa was MSR, which is a main supply route between Baghdad and Fallujah. Mm-hmm. And we would take IEDs every night. Yes. Every time we came in there, they would try to mortar us as we came in. Mm-hmm. And just a quick story on my end, we had come in from a convoy. We had made it in. We had gone to the DFAS, which is the dining facility, and it was 01 in the morning because we were waiting for the convoy set up. We were going to turn around and go back again. Mm-hmm. And they took two or three mortar strikes while we were in the DFAC. And we're sitting in the DFAC at the table, my entire team, and we're eating our dinner. And these mortars hit. One of them hit the building, and one of them hit just outside the back entrance of the DFAC. Mm-hmm. And all of the ceiling tiles had come down. The lights were flashing. Everything was hanging from the ceilings. And when we started to get up, and then it was like we looked at each other and go, why are we getting up? This is what we do every day. We literally all sat back down while all of the TCNs are running toward the doors to get out of the building because of the mortar attack. And we finished our dinner in the dark with all the ceiling tiles and everything else hanging, the lights flickering and everything else, because it's like, well, this, now that they've mortared us, this is probably the safest place to be.
Yeah, and you need your fuel.
And we literally finished eating our dinner in a mortared building because it was probably going to be the only meal we had in the next 24 hours.
Yes, sir.
I mean, just the craziness of war.
Yes, sir. So while we were there at BIOP Camp Sather, as you know about the DFAC, that was one of my duties while I was there. We had two shifts, splitting days, splitting nights for the shift I was on. We had to run and get chow, so a lot of times, you know, outside the wire, 10, 12, 15-mile run each way, a lot of that good stuff. While at BIOP, we daily hitting with mortars, missiles. Missile came in and blew out the hangar right next to our location. We had mortars come in, and one of these days on a mortar incident, just like yourself, right outside the facility. And it happened to be one of the times in my life that I was sitting down in Iraq, and the concussion from that mortar blew me out of my chair and threw me backwards into a brick wall where I sustained some spine polytrauma, TBI, and actually my guts had taken the concussion and herniated out of my abdomen. I stayed in country through all that, too.
I'm not going to say, Kevin, that you have bad luck, but you have tough luck.
Oh, thank you, sir. So, yeah, you know, after that incident of getting thrown into that brick wall, that night I remember waking up from what I thought was a sleep and feeling like I had a hot rod being shoved through my entire skull. And I was vomiting, couldn't find my equilibrium, I couldn't stand up, and I literally low-crawled out of my tent to the neighboring tent and retrieved one of my airmen, one of my troop, and he had the fireman carry me over to the med tent, where I started being treated for TBI on the spot.
Even with your stomach traumas?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And I started receiving these 8-inch long needles up the back of my neck into my skull and scalp to start doing all kinds of these radical nerves blocks so they could keep me in country for the rest of my deployment. After I was returned home, fulfilled that deployment, I had actually got transferred out through a joint spouse assignment to Luke Air Force Base. And by the time I got to Luke Air Force Base, literally, which was probably 3.5 weeks after my return from Iraq, my body, my mind, everything about this vessel took the fallout. There was no hiding it anymore. Literally everything about me began to break. I found myself in Walter Reed Hospital. The medical system realized that I finally needed medical care. They sent me to Walter Reed Army Hospital for two different tours and treatments and care programs, range from post-deployment health recovery to the Asheville National Vaccine Healthcare Center. And Walter Reed, for any of us who have been there, and if you haven't, it's a mind-opening experience all in itself to be sitting amongst 10, 12,000 brain-concussed, shell-shock veterans all at the same time, and to be here today to be able to speak to you is quite an honor to be here.
Especially with a fairly clear mind. And your survivability through all this has just been amazing to me. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Kevin Ratha, United States Air Force combat veteran. We'll be right back.
It's almost April, and you know what that means. Cool April nights. Prepare yourself and your classic car for lots of show and shine, entertainment, and best of all, classic cars cruising around town all month. This year's official events will take place April 22nd through May 1st. And be sure to check out their website at CoolAprilNights.com for this year's schedule of events and to register your cars. Mark your calendars for the big show on April 30th, which will feature over 2,000 classic cars. Cool April Nights is also celebrating its 31st anniversary as the largest classic car show in Northern California. So, now is the time to polish up that classic car, dust off that leather jacket and jeans, and get ready for lots of show and shine, live music, and best of all, classic cars cruising around town all month. Tickets on sale soon at Napa Auto Parts.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Hi, my name's Nick Gardner. I have a show here on KCNR, Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. every other Sunday. The name of my show is Poke the Hornet's Nest.
There's no mountain I can't climb. There's no tower too high.
I'm going to concentrate on local politics mainly, but we'll talk about national politics also. You'll get the view of the common citizen here in Redding, California. And remember, today is the first day of the rest of your life. Maybe it's a good time for a new perspective about what's been going on in our town, in our state, in our nation. I hope you tune in and hear the other side of the news.
Everybody, listen up!
Been home about 6 months now, and I still have my doubts. Well, I'm not sure how I got here or how I'm gonna get out. Well, my mama says I look the same as I did before I left. But if she could see inside me, it would scare her to death. Well, I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun. And I can hear my sergeant screaming, run, soldier, run. And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton. And I see death in every single thought. Well, they taught me how to put that uniform on. I just can't get it off. Last night Saturday they honored us in a small parade downtown. And when they shot off those fireworks, I nearly hit the ground. And while they smiled and cheered for us, all I could do was stare. 'Cause part of me is here at home, but part of me is back there. I can still taste the powder from the barrel of my gun, and I can hear my sergeant screaming, "Run, soldier, run!" And I can feel the backpack on my shoulders, got it weighed a ton.
Good morning, you're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again this morning is Kevin Raffa, and we're working on a third tour. He's just taken a heavy strike at the DFAC from a mortar round that he'd come in, and he's dealing with the repercussions and further injuries to his body that he had taken even from the earlier tours of duty that he had taken. And once again, I'm going to say it again. If it wasn't for the fact, I mean, you just showed me a picture of you when you were at your top fighting capability, with your physique and the strength that you had and everything else that took place. If it wasn't for that you were at the top of your game, these things would have completely overtaken you and killed you.
I 100% agree with that.
And so, once again, when you go physically, when you get deployed, when you're in the military, even in your general life, your health is so important to surviving just everything that's taking place around us, whether it's COVID, whether it's everyday situations, a car accident, or whatever else. If you're not on your top game, you will succumb to any of these injuries or psychological issues or whatever else. And like I told you before, the good Lord, it just was not your time to go when these things took place. And you're a survivor, and you're an example of how hard it is to be in the military and to continue to strive and be the best you can be, even through very, very difficult situations. It's so important between your mindset and your physical capability.
Thank you. Jump back into Iraq real quick. So finishing up that deployment, part of that history again, led me back to Shaw, transferred out to Luke Air Force Base, where my medical board began. That's what led to me being retired. Fully medical retirement, United States Air Force at 7 years, 2 months, 15 days, permanent retired December 7th of 2011, where in those 4 years of time frame, I was assigned to the Medical Evaluation Board, temporary permanent retirement list, where I had this obligation to follow VA-directed health care to maximize the potential of level of recovery for me so that I could go back to active duty. And again, about 4 years into that, after several orders, calls, going to military treatment facilities for medical checkups to reevaluate and assess, they finally determined that there was no way Staff Sergeant Raffa was coming back to duty. My deterioration was in continual declination state. And
was that your goal, to go back to active duty, or was that their desire?
My goal was to serve a full 20-year term, so I had
one way or the other.
18 in, 38 out, being strong enough, fit enough, and with the focus to pursue my medical career as a surgeon, which is what I actually always wanted to do. And, you know, life has a change, of course.
Most people would have given up at the very beginning.
I don't think God has that in store for me, sir. After my medical board, again, I'm now here back in California. My parents, Greg and Joan, are taking care of me, doing the best they can. My father's traveling me all over the state of California for VA healthcare programs, treatments. I was one of the first wounded warriors. I brought home Karma, which is a service dog given to me medically through the Air Force. And Karma was a walking service dog with a brain injury veteran, me, before the VA ever even had their service dog program. We helped spearhead the way, ironically, with all of that, even here in our local community. My mother can testify to the levels of harassment we went through for her just trying to take me grocery shopping in this community, because nobody once upon a time understood a true brain injury service dog.
And, you know, pointing out what you keep commenting on, the health issues I'm facing. Yes, sir. And if I can have a moment, I would like to tell everybody a little bit about that.
Go right ahead.
Still to this day, yes, as you can see with those photos and seeing me here sitting in front of you, I'm down to about 130 pounds now. Once 205 pounds of fit, lean muscle, as you saw. The chronic deterioration of every aspect that has been lined out, diagnosed, even the understanding, the willingness that the physicians in my life outside the VA scope of care, because the VA scope of care doesn't have the specialists I need, to be honest, so I've had to go outside of that and use my own cash money to pay for health care.
Which is not acceptable.
The specialists, the leading physicians in their field of expertise are all working with me. We have a real true understanding of what it is that actually did happen to this physical vessel of mine, and that is what I'm working with now today, and that is what has led to that, honestly, that cry for help. I'm living in a home now that was purchased through the VA home loan process as a disabled adult veteran, and entrusting through that entire process, paying all the inspectors, the real estate agents, the real estate departments, all fully 100% aware of the dire situations, the dire straits I'm in with my health, with the need for me to be into a home because I have to go out to Florida for massive reconstructive abdominal surgeries to remove infected necrosed mesh, causing me a loss of anatomical tissue to my body. I was sold a fraudulent home. And so on top of all of this, with what I'm honestly dealing with, sir, which a lot of us are dealing with, these stressors, physical ailments, diseases that are deteriorating us, I, like myself, and I hope I'm the only one who honestly has had to take this on, and if I'm not, I commend all of you for standing strong through this, but to be truly disabled after serving our country, to come home, to being sold a home through fraudulent conveyance of language, leading me into a situation now for where the last 4 years, all of the effort I have put into my recovery has been wasted. I've probably lost 12 to 15 years of what they would call my life source energy in the last 4 years fighting for my own home that you know of.
Yeah, just the stress factors. What's happened is they sold him a home that was supposed to be VA disabled qualified. And when it came down to it, after the fact, the house floods. It was wrongfully determined to be a house that was in good condition, especially for a disabled veteran. And it floods every time that rains. The mud comes down through the house and through the garage, and it's he literally was sold a bill of goods. And now everybody's blaming everybody else, and he's having such a difficult time finding somebody to be able to help him get through this. And once again, it is sucking up your life savings, what you have left.
My financial savings is being deteriorated.
Now there's mold in the house.
There's mold in the house. Again, the professionals, everybody has done the reconnaissance and diagnosis of this house that I should never have been sold this home. I should never have been allowed to move in. And then to consciously think about having my abdominal cavity re-lacerated open through the process of trying to save my own items in my garage while it's flooding, put me back, when you talked earlier in the beginning of the show about being back in war. I've been in war, sir.
Since you've come home.
Since I've come home. And every day today, I'm at war fighting for a safe place to live. And as of right now, I'm really searching for a place to get outside of my home, which is really hard for me because I chose a home that was supposed to be my final resting place.
And you believe the individuals who said this is a disabled veteran's home. You put your trust in them, and they sold you a bill of goods.
Yes, sir.
They lied to you physically.
And I am facing this reality. My friends and family, we were all facing this reality that this individual right here before you, this veteran, is stuck now once again searching for a safe place to live. Well, yes, I understand. I do hold on, and I have to fight, and I have to pray every day for God to bless me with another day. My body is in a constant decline of deterioration, and it is a fact that I accepted a long time ago.
Well, we're getting ready to go to break, but as we're talking about the situation with your house, and you're just right now, you're just trying to maintain some semblance of your sanity, along just trying to keep your health and moving forward. And now that you found mold in the house and the different situations, it's hard. Even when I first heard your story and went out and talked to you at your home and everything, it was so difficult to understand how people in our community And a community that's supposed to support and take care of our veterans take advantage of someone who doesn't know or is in a poor situation physically to where they're making money off of your back and your sacrifice for our nation and your continued survivability here in our community. And so that's one of the reasons you're here today, because people need to know that there are swindlers out there that are taking care of our elderly and our young veterans that put their trust in them. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. We'll be right back.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
He's been living for the last 8 months.
And it ain't about the badges on his uniform. And it ain't about the oil like they say it is in the news. You'll never hear him say it don't matter anymore. 'Cause what matters most is still at home. Gathered round the table, barely, barely able to get through the day without thinking about him. And their life matters more. She gets mad when someone talks bad about red, white, and blue. She says they don't understand what it stands for. Said if they spend just one day on their knees in her shoes, it'd be a little more appreciative of that, I'm sure. What matters most is down the road, at the back of the cemetery where his best friends carried him and laid him down. They think about him and their life without him. They make sure that
you're listening to Battlefield Expressions, and once again, our guest, Kevin Raffa, we've been discussing his return back from all of his injuries and everything, being retired, medically retired from the Air Force, and now you're dealing with trying to sustain yourself with a home that you bought that was supposed to be disabled veteran qualified and approved by individuals in this community. It turned out that the guy that actually did the property appraisal and surveying everything, it was actually fired from Shasta County because of all the swindling and things that he had done throughout the entire area to other individuals, including yourself. And here you are, one of those individuals that became entrapped in his net of lies. And so you're surviving with this, and you're moving forward with your health issues and with dealing with the house issues and trying to get these things taken care of so you can actually live in your home, because now you found black mold and you're trying to survive that. Again, you know, Kevin, as we've talked, a lot of people would have just committed suicide. They'd have just thrown their hands up in their life, and they would have said, you know what? I am done. I'm not dealing with this anymore. I just want out. How have you survived, Kevin?
By the grace of God.
That's the bottom line.
I'll be very frank and honest. The candid truth is I was one of those. I had fellow airmen walk in right before I took that. I was about to be one of us who swallowed a bullet. And for some reason, ever since that day, by the grace of God, and understanding that there has to be a greater purpose and reason why I am still alive, because I understand the feats that I have been faced. I had studied my whole life before the military to be a surgeon. I'd been through medical school working on cadavers. I understand the anatomy. So I understand the seriousness of what this physical vessel that God gave me has been through. That's why I say by his grace. And with that, if I can talk about it and point out a few things. Everybody, there's a real reason why your American heroes are killing themselves. Because we've enlisted and joined the United States Armed Forces to serve our country foreign and wide for the nature and benefit of all of you. Our family, our friends, our loved ones. And when we come home and face situations like the ones I've been faced with and fellow friends have faced with, many, I've had friends kill themselves due to these circumstances. When we cry out for help and we're even told through the training of the separation by the military, a true hero, a true warrior knows how to ask for help. Because that is about the only training we get when we separate. They can educate us, break us down, compartmentalize us for this military process, but there is no re-education really about coming home. Just like the lyrics of these songs that we've listened to say, the majority of us hear from everybody else, you're not the same anymore. You're not who we remember. But like myself and so many others, what we remember is everybody else that is back home, which is why and what we're serving for. And for me, a really important nature is that of my son. I had at 16 years old, I had a child brought into this world by me. At the time, it was an accident, but most likely another act in grace of God, because that was one of the reasons and still is one of the reasons why I fight to survive. My service to this country, and because I come from Shasta County, I lost the ability to be a father or have a relationship with that child. And I'm not the only one. Another major reason why a lot of us take our own lives. We come home in this stigma that is wrapped up around us because we've seen combat. And literally that was said to me here in Shasta County courts. I was unfit to be around my child because I had seen combat. Not for anything that I had done stateside, but because my service to our country, the things I had been faced to do, yes, take life to preserve my own. I was too much of a risk to be around my own child. There's a lot of reasons why we're taking our lives in this country, outside the military as well. But the real reason why, when it really comes down to it for me and my experience, is just lack of support. Lack of support and understanding the detrimental and dire situations that someone goes through. And even if you can just remove the aspect or the need for the desire to have that understanding, it's compassion. We need to be there for each other. And thank you for having me here today, because you're here for me. And
vet to vet.
And hopefully my voice is there, our voice is there for all the rest of you. And why am I still alive? Because apart and amongst all that fight that I've put in through these physical endeavors, I was also gifted with this aspect called synesthesia through these brain injuries I incurred. Synesthesia leads me to smelling, tasting, sound in a way that people typically don't understand, but yes, is true by science, and we can discuss it. Beethoven, in fact, was a synesthetic. I thought I would take everything that I'd been through, this trauma, the life of trauma I'd learned from all the veterans before me, going back to Bruce Compton, to Fred Salanti, Major John Kleckner, George Sharton, Mike Wiley, John Carl Rote, all those who were like my adopted uncles in this world, witnessing the trauma of the family and how that real PTSD monster isn't just within us, the veteran, it's within all of us who know us, because we affect everybody. It's a trickle, it's the root of the tree. This web has delved so deep into our society, we are all affected by this now. And we need to really understand that for a veteran, especially, to find a purpose post-military is the ultimate goal and a real reason for us to continue living. And that is why I'm still here today and why I'm speaking to you, sir, because I had the blessing to receive a phone call from the Pentagon, a GS-15, a handful of years ago while I was still going through the adventure on learning how to walk on my own again. And he asked me, Kevin, why haven't you committed suicide? We literally have your file on our desk, and you are one of them. Why haven't you done it when so many else have? We don't have enough time on the air today to talk about that conversation, but what led to that was me sitting down in that physical body and using what was left of this able mind through prayer and spirit, thinking about all of us, every single one of you, the service members and all of our families and the trauma we all endure worldwide because of war, and thought, what could I do if I had the able mind, body, and this world gave me that opportunity? What could I do? So I sat down, thought of some ideas on how to help veterans from committing suicide, came up with some really valuable programs, some work ideas, some employment opportunities, because really employment is a major reason why we lose our all sense of hope. There's no reason, there's no purpose for many of us when we come home, because society turns our back and doesn't give us a place for employment. How are we supposed to support ourselves and our family or our loved ones? So yes, sometimes it isn't easy, or an easy cause or reason to check out. So I'm here today also too because God's grace gave me that reason, and I would like to do what's left or do what I can with what's left of me to leave something behind for the rest of all of you, the families, the veterans, this world. Sovereignty and grace is what we call it, and we aim to help employ combat veterans, but first I have to be able to sustain my own life, sir.
Well, I'm sure glad that the Lord has been working with you and taking care of you. And by His grace, all of us are surviving and continuing to move day to day. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest, Kevin Raffa, post 9/11 veteran, Iraqi veteran, all the different details that we've talked about going through, and we'll be right back.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high price winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hey friends, this is RC with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you the Cigar of the Humidor, the Monte Cristo 1935 Anniversary Nicaraguan. From the fields of A.J. Fernandez, a bold and strong Maduro stick. Lots of spice with subtle earthy tones and a twinge of leather, coffee, and malted milk. The number two cigar of 2021. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
Now is a great time to prepare for this year's upcoming wildfire season. Redding Electric Utility and City of Redding staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our facilities and to the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home, clear debris from your roof and gutters, and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity of power lines, call 530-224-4356. We all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
The Seek Center and SCAR are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, March 11th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Seek Center at 5400 Seek Center Drive in Anderson. All brands of COVID-19 vaccines will be available, including boosters. Kids 5 to 11 and youth 12 to 17 must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients and special toys and gifts to the kids. No appointment needed. No insurance needed. Free COVID-19 at-home testing kits will also be available, along with free hand sanitizer and masks. This is a drive-through and walk-up clinic, so you can stay in the comfort of your vehicle and get vaccinated, or head inside and get vaccinated. There will also be a team of medical professionals on hand at this free vaccination clinic at the Seek Center at 5400 Seek Center Drive in Anderson, Friday, March 11th from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
It happens to mother when she is given birth. Her heart is filled with joy while her body's filled with hurt. She holds a baby close to her despite the pain he caused. When it comes to love, you don't count the cost. Happens to a soldier fighting for his home. Fear wells up inside him, and yet he still goes on. Even though he knows he may be the next to fall, when it comes to love, you don't count the cost. You don't count the heartache, you don't count the sacrifice.
comes to love, no, you don't count the cost.
Good morning. You're listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest again, Kevin Rapha. And Kevin, we've talked about your injuries. We've talked about your service to the United States Air Force through thick and thin, literally against all odds. And you are a survivor. And I just want to thank you for your service. I want to thank you for your belief in God. I want to thank you for setting an example and being strong when others are weak and continuing to move forward, even though you move forward at great physical sacrifice and mental sacrifice to yourself with everything that's taking place. You are an example of heroism. You're an example of being courage under fire. And as we move forward, we're talking about your home and the issues that you're having there by being sold a bill of goods with the black mold situation you have. When you're in your home now, you're sick all the time because of the black mold situation.
Yes.
And so when you were brought to my attention, what we're talking about is finding an alternate source of capability to live. Right now, you're struggling with paying for your home and everything else that you've got. We're looking for a trailer or a fifth wheel, something that you can park in your driveway and you can continue to live there at your home while you're taking care of these situations, but not be subjected to the mold in your system on a 24-hour basis.
Yes.
And so what I'm actually going to ask is that if you're out there as part of our listeners, and that if you have a trailer that you're not using, if you have something that you would like to that you don't use any longer, and that you would like to donate that for him to be able to live in while he still has his house taking care of all these other issues, you can donate that to Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services, and you can get your tax write-off, and we can go ahead and gift that to Kevin as a combat veteran through Homeward Bound for him to be able to have and to use. And then that way you can use the 501c3 through the Northern California Veterans Museum and Homeward Bound. Because that's what this program is for. And this is, I mean, we've gifted cars, we've gifted food, we've gifted groceries, we've gifted clothing and emergency services and everything else. So this is just one more opportunity for Homeward Bound to step up and take care of a veteran in our community that is in dire straits, that you're at a point now where if you stay in your house, it's going to kill you with the mold.
It is.
And so we need to be able to find a way, a solution, to be able to help you continue to fight this battle and still live on your premises.
Thank you. Regarding that, facing that, as you know, I've pursued every avenue possible, even from the VA Home Loan Department, everything in Shasta County, every agency, Wounded Warriors, anybody that I could think of to call as a plea for help regarding that fraudulent sale of a home I moved into that has cost me my mind, body, health, booking, financial accounts, everything. And here we are today, so I'm very thankful that you responded. Because to be honest, aside from yourself, we and Ryan Clements and his wife Adriana of Arbor Creek LLC, the majority of this community did turn their backs. The society, the agencies that should have been there for my original call to help did turn their backs. And this is very honorable and a little bit overwhelming to be here to hear you speak out like that and put out a call for help for me. So thank you.
Well, once again, Homeward Bound was developed to take care of veterans that are in need in our community and to be able to move forward, because we literally do not have any local representation otherwise. Mm-hmm. Homeward Bound has been able to step forward and to help many, many veterans in our community and across Northern California that were in need. And you fit that category immensely. And so as we move forward, we are going to continue to look for solutions and opportunities to be able to help you to get move further in this situation on multiple levels.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you're still looking for some legal assistance and legal help in this community. And so if you're out there and you have that capability to help a veteran that is in need, you're literally getting down to the bottom wire with the house, with everything that you've expended, with trying to subdue the water that floods across your property and damages your home to begin with,
mm-hmm.
and then deal now with the mold and your insurance company. Let me tell you what, he's been working with USAA, and USAA has pretty much turned their back on him and not helping. I have USAA myself.
Most of us veterans have USAA.
And it's, and I've experienced issues before with different claims, but this is the worst experience I've heard of with USAA turning their backs and saying that's not my problem. And there's too many people in our community to say that's not my problem, but every day they wake up in a free world where you and I have helped pay the price to keep that freedom.
Which is part of the internal struggle I honestly have faced through this, is that I'm back here in our hometown, our home community, and for all that which we have put forward, all of us uniform service members, that which we've put forward to come home to this type of isolation and separation from our society and our community that should be helping is a tough call, sir.
You know, I liken it to, as long as we're a bullet, we're good, but as soon as we're a piece of spent brass, they kick us to the side and they could care less.
True.
And we see that with our active duty counterparts. We see that with different sectors of the VA. Mm-hmm. And then we come home and we see different things like that that take place in our community.
And for everybody to tell us it's nothing more than a civil matter to seek legal assistance, well, as you know, I've tried to do that. And so everybody listening, I really would like you to understand that I have sought legal assistance for 4.5 years on this matter, where I finally did have an attorney who right now is providing some counsel and assistance out of a Joker's law firm. However, he agrees we need to escalate this if possible, or if there's anybody out there who really does feel like they can help, please call.
And so we know that this is just one veteran that we're bringing attention to that is going through these situations. We know that there are other veterans out there, men and women, who are suffering and going through the same thing. And they have no place to look for help, or they don't know where to look for help.
And if, again, by another grace of God, may this be a start to that.
And so this is a part of helping to find a solution and to be part of the solution and not part of the problem.
Yes, sir, because I have a hard time honestly believing that I was the only disabled veteran in our country who's been sold a fraudulent home since returning.
Well, we know that there's many out there, but we also know that those that commit suicide never are able to continue to tell their story. And that's why it's so important to stay the course, to endeavor through the difficult times, because we can't let it be quiet. Silence is consent, and we're not being silent when it comes to taking care of our veterans.
No, it's time that we speak out.
So that's why this is so important. Once again, if you'd like to call the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, our phone number in Anderson is 530-378-2280. 530-378-2280. If you have an answer that you can help us with towards the solving of this situation, whether it be legally, financially, or the donation of a trailer or a fifth wheel to help him during this time, you know, we need to come together as a community to help take care of our veterans that are in need. And it doesn't matter whether they served during Vietnam or they served in Iraq or Afghanistan, they put their lives on the line for our freedom. And at the least, we need to step forward and say, what can I do to help you for what we have in our own lives?
Mm-hmm. And right now, to close out the nature of what we face, I'm in need of stem cells, sir, to be able to sustain much more of my life. And I'm trying to find a way to get to South America to get those. And this whole ordeal has put a roadblock in that. One last thing I'd like to say on a very good positive note, I want to thank you for having me here today. I want to thank you for everything you've done for our country as a service member and what you're doing coming home with these organizations and foundations you're working on. I'd like to say thank you for all those veterans advocates who came here before us, from my father to John Kleckner, John Carl Rote, Mike Wiley, Bruce Compton, Fred Salanti, and an especial thanks and shout out to retired state senator Maurice Johannesson for all the hard work you have done for all of us veterans of all eras. Thank you, sir.
And thank you once again. I just want to let you know that we're going to continue to work with you to the greatest of our capability and find solutions to these problems and situations that are encompassing your capability as a person living and also as a veteran that's surviving. You've been listening to Battlefield Expressions. Our guest is Kevin Raffa, United States Air Force veteran. And once again, thank you for your support.
Happens all around us, each and every day. Someone's giving all they've got for someone else's sake.
If you ever doubt it, just think about the cross. When it comes to love, you don't count the cost. You don't count the heartache. You don't count.
KCNR.